Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for the Economics Report and American Mosaic, coming up after As It Is.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington with As It Is. We are here 7 days a week to help you learn and improve your American English. Today, we will begin with some science news. Some ordinary citizens are now working with the U.S. Space Agency. They have found a new use for an old satellite. Then, we look to Brazil, where the world's largest rainforest, the Amazon, is being destroyed much faster than had been estimated. Now, here is part one. For the first time, the American Space Agency has given control of one of its spacecraft to a team of citizen scientists. The satellite was launched in 1978 and had not been active since 1997. But the citizen group has found a way to make it useful again. Christopher Cruz reports.
Space Agency scientists have a name for the satellite. It is known as the International Sun-Earth Explorer 3, or IC-3. IC-3 studied space weather beginning in the late 1970s. It also gathered information about particles flowing from the sun. These particles, also known as solar wind, can damage satellites and electrical systems and block radio signals. In the early 1980s, IC-3 was the first satellite to fly through the tail of a comet. A few years later, it flew through a much more famous comet, Halley's Comet. In 1997, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration officially retired IC-3. NASA scientists stopped following the satellite closely. Keith Cowing did not, however. He is a former NASA engineer, and he is one of the leaders of a group called the Reboot Project. The group received permission from NASA to take control of IC-3. It got money for the effort from a crowdsourcing website, a place on the internet where people can give money to projects they support. Mr. Cowing then organized a group of citizen scientists to take control of the satellite and give it a new purpose.
Every few years, somebody would, you know, listen to it just as an exercise to see how good their radio telescope was. So we knew, based on what people were hearing, because they were sort of listening as it was going to come by the Earth, we knew it was alive, because if we could hear it, that meant it had electricity, which meant its solar cells were working, and it had two transmitters. So that's kind of two of the most important things. You have power and talk to the spacecraft.
But IC-3 is not equipped with a computer. So the Reboot Project looked through old records to find ways to communicate with it. Mr. Cowing and his team built a new transmitter, a device that can send signals or commands. They placed this transmitter on the world's largest radio telescope, at the Arecibo Observatory in Puerto Rico. Soon, they were talking to the satellite, and the satellite was talking to them.
We had to send tones to the spacecraft to tell it to do things, and we did that on the 29th of May. And we said, in essence, respond back, and it answered back.
But the team had a bigger goal than just talking to the satellite. They wanted to tell IC-3 to enter a new orbit around the Earth. When NASA retired the satellite in the late 1990s, scientists told it to travel to the moon.
At first, we actually got the engines to fire to spin the spacecraft up a little bit, which everybody thought was impossible. But eventually, we reached a point where there was a problem with the fuel system, that there just wasn't enough gas to build up enough pressure to fire the engine. Everything else worked in the spacecraft. It flew by the moon about 14,000 kilometers away. We didn't really change its course all that much, but the difference is now it's sending back science to us.
Years after it no longer had any fuel or battery power, solar cells on the satellite gave it life. IC-3 worked for so long because its design was so simple. Mr. Cowing says information from the satellite is free and can be seen online by anyone. IC-3 will not be this close to Earth again until 2029. I'm Christopher Cruz.
You are listening to VOA, the Voice of America, and we are coming to you from Washington. Brazil is home to the world's largest rainforest, the Amazon. A rainforest is a kind of forest that receives at least 254 centimeters of rain each year. But the Brazilian government recently said the Amazon rainforest is being destroyed faster than had been estimated. Deforestation is the destruction of forests and wooded areas. Jonathan Evans says Brazilian officials recently announced that deforestation of the Amazon increased by 29% in 2013. That is a large increase after gains that have taken place since 2009.
Information collected in late 2013 by Brazil's Space Research Center showed signs that deforestation was increasing again. Researchers studied data from July 2012 to July 2013. The information showed that 5,891 square kilometers of forest had been cleared in the Brazilian Amazon area. Many scientists say fighting the destruction of the Amazon rainforest is very important to reduce the effects of global warming. Global warming is an increase in temperatures around the world caused by gases that trap heat in the Earth's atmosphere. Experts say worldwide deforestation is responsible for 15% of the heat-trapping gases released into the atmosphere each year. The Amazon is also home to many different kinds of plants and animals. Experts say the Amazon holds billions of species that scientists have not studied. The largest increases in deforestation took place in the states of Pará and Mato Grosso. That is an area where most of Brazil's farming takes place. More than 1,000 square kilometers of forest has been removed in those two states. One reason for the increase in deforestation is the rise in illegal logging, the cutting down of trees without official permission. Officials say big projects such as the building of roads and hydroelectric dams for electric energy also play a part in deforestation. The Brazilian government began keeping records of deforestation in 2004. Almost 30,000 square kilometers of rainforest were destroyed that year. That remains the largest loss of rainforest in a single year ever recorded in Brazil. Last year's increase, however, is still the second smallest loss of rainforest in the last 10 years. The Brazilian government often launches police operations to fight illegal loggers in the forest. However, critics say officials must do more. Many native Brazilian people who live in the Amazon are displeased with the efforts of police forces. They said if the Brazilian police would not do their job, the native people would do it for them. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. This is VOA, the Voice of America.
The Economics Report is next, followed by American Mosaic. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Economics Report. The Commerce Department says the U.S. economy expanded at its fastest rate in more than 2 years. From April through June, the economy grew at a rate of 4.6%. That is good news following the first 3 months of the year, when the country's economy shrank by more than 2%. Some economists say the second quarter growth is a sign that the U.S. economy is finally improving. Others are not so sure. A severe winter is blamed for hurting businesses and keeping Americans away from shopping centers early in the year. The sharp increase in economic activity from April to June was welcome. But Bankrate.com financial expert Greg McBride says it is only 3 months of growth. He spoke with VOA on Skype.
Well, it's certainly nice to see a rebound after that disastrous first quarter that we had. But it's, you know, as I like to say, one in a row is not a streak.
Much depends on whether the economy continues to improve in the last 6 months of 2014. However, the sharp fall in the first 3 months of the year means the gross domestic product, the widest measure of the nation's economic output, is unlikely to increase more than last year's 2.2% growth. Investors on Wall Street, however, have confidence in the economy. The new growth numbers pushed stock prices higher. The S&P 500 index, an important stock market measure, has reached close to 2,000 points in recent weeks. That is not far from its record high of 2,011 points. David Stockton is an expert with the Peterson Institute for International Economics. He says business conditions are improving.
I think it does suggest the U.S. economy is moving forward. It's moving forward at a moderate pace. The condition of U.S. businesses is such that they're increasing their investment spending.
The Bureau of Economic Analysis, or BEA, said increased business spending and exports caused the increase in growth. That also could help the job market. The national unemployment rate is currently 6.1%. However, wages have remained mostly unchanged, although there has been some job growth in the last year. Greg McBride believes that is changing.
The leading category for job growth here in 2014 is professional and business services, so these tend to be higher paying jobs. The job market actually has a little bit of momentum going for it. That's a good news and, you know, has been far more consistent than what we've seen in terms of economic growth.
And that's the Economics Report in Learning English. For more of our programs, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com. I'm Mario Ritter.
Welcome to American Mosaic from VOA Learning English. I'm Katie Weaver. Moviegoers now have less than a month to wait for the release of the third Hunger Games movie. The Hunger Games: Mockingjay Part 1 will open in theaters across the United States on November 21st. The soundtrack that goes along with the film will be released a few days before that. 17-year-old New Zealand singer-songwriter Lorde is leading the project. On Monday, she released its first single, Yellow Flicker Beat. Lorde has expressed great excitement over her part in the creation of the film. She said she jumped at the chance, although she knew the project would not be easy. She said she knew she would be inspired by the movie's story and characters. This first single shows that Lorde was moved by the Hunger Games hero, Katniss Everdeen. In the first movie of the series, Katniss wears a dress from which fire rises when she turns around. She became known as the Girl on Fire. The song Yellow Flicker Beat captures that image of Katniss. The song goes, "My blood is a flood of rubies, precious stones. It keeps my veins hot. The fires find a home in me. I move through town. I'm quiet like a fire."
I'm a princess cut from marble, smoother than a storm. And the scars that mark my body, they're silver and gold. My blood is a flood, the rubies, precious stones. It keeps my veins hot, the fire's found a home in me. I move through town, I'm quiet like a fire. My necklace is a rope, I tie it and untie. And now people talk to me, but nothing ever hits home. People talk to me and all the voices just burn home.
It is not known who, other than Lorde, might appear on the soundtrack to Mockingjay Part 1. The first movie included a shared song from Taylor Swift and the band The Civil Wars. It is called Safe and Sound.
Just close your eyes, the sun is going down.
The music for the second Hunger Games movie, Catching Fire, turned into a hit soundtrack. The British group Coldplay wrote and performed the song Atlas.
Carry away.
The soundtrack for The Hunger Games: Mockingjay Part 1 will be released November 18th.
I'll carry you away.
This year has been a good one for teenage movie lovers. Hollywood has produced several films based on books aimed at young adults. The Maze Runner is the most recent. Moviegoers in the United States bought more than $32 million worth of tickets last weekend for its opening. The Maze Runner is based on a science fiction book of the same name by James Dashner. The book and movie tell about a boy who wakes up one day and cannot remember anything except his name, Thomas. He finds himself in a place called the Glade. It is a green, rural place and the home to many teenage boys. They all perform different jobs in order to survive. Just like Thomas, each boy has lost his memory.
Can you tell me anything about yourself? Who you are, where you came from? Can you tell me your name?
I can't remember anything.
Thomas's job is to run through a maze, a place with many paths, but only one that leads out. Maze runners try to make maps of the maze, which surrounds the glade, keeping the teenagers inside. But there are horrible, hungry creatures on the grounds that make a trip through the maze very dangerous. 23-year-old actor Dylan O'Brien plays Thomas. He is best known for his part in the American television series Teen Wolf. Dylan O'Brien has said he did not expect to get a part in The Maze Runner, but he told PopSugar.com that the part of Thomas was right for him. He said he thinks in the same way as his character, and he said the job of Maze Runner fit him. He said he is good at running. Movie critics have mixed opinions about The Maze Runner. Many critics have noted the movie's similarity to the book Lord of the Flies by William Golding. That book tells about a group of boys who try to create a civil society after a plane crash leaves them alone on an island. But the Chicago Sun-Times newspaper says The Maze Runner sends moviegoers on a much different ride that is very satisfying. The New York Times notes that the movie leaves enough questions at the end to guarantee a second Maze Runner. That film is already in pre-production.
Irish band U2's recent online project with technology company Apple caused a storm of online controversy. The project gave free digital copies of U2's new album, Songs of Innocence, to all Apple iTunes members, about 500 million people, an Apple gift. But a considerable number of members saw it more as a violation. Katie Weaver has more.
The band has a huge following. Millions of people love it. But just as many people may not like the group, or may not have even heard of it. This became apparent recently when U2 teamed with Apple. In doing so, U2's new album, Songs of Innocence, was given to all 500 million iTunes subscribers. Sounds like a good idea, right? Well, maybe not so. Much of the public reaction on social media criticized the album giveaway. Many iTunes users say they did not like that the music was forced on them. Some web posts called it an unwelcome surprise. Some tweets even mocked the band's philanthropic image. Apple quickly answered the widespread protests. It provided users with a tool to help them easily remove the album from their iTunes library. U2's album may have been free for listeners, and users did not have to pay to remove it. But for Apple, the incident was far from free. Apple reportedly spent up to $100 million for the marketing campaign. But despite the backlash, U2 and Apple are pleased that the music is out. U2 leader Bono spoke to an Irish radio station about the backlash. He called it overblown. He said the project was a success, except for a technological problem. He said the music was supposed to be available to all iTunes users, but was downloaded to some devices by mistake. I'm Katie Weaver. Do you have a question about American life, people, or places? Send an email to learningenglish@voanews.com or write to us at Learning English, Voice of America, 330 Independence Avenue, Southwest, Washington, D.C., USA. The zip code is 20237. We might answer your question in a future show. You can also visit our website at learningenglish.voanews.com for more of our materials. We have audio and video programs. We also have quizzes and other activities to help you test your American English skills. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for American Mosaic from VOA Learning English.